So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Does it get any better than Chicago food? From longtime favorites to newly opened locations, Italian beef joints to pizza places, burritos to sushi, Chicago's very own Eats celebrates a wide range of food and restaurants in the greater Chicagoland area. Hosts Kevin Powell and Michael Piff welcome you into their daily food talk in the WGN Radio Break Room as they discuss their latest foodie adventures, their top five lists, the latest social media arguments, interviews with chefs, and conversations with local celebs about their favorite places to eat. This is Chicago's Very Own Eats.
Episode 6 of Chicago's Very Own Eats with myself, Kevin Powell, alongside Mike Piff. And joining us, a very special guest, Luke Stuckmeyer. You can hear him, see him over at CHGO, which is a new sports startup in town. If you're not following them yet, you should be. They cover all of our sports teams. Luke's all over the Cubs. Luke, appreciate you jumping on. What'd you think of opening day for the Cubbies at Wrigley? Nice victory.
Well, it was a great victory, but it was also very nice to be in studio for that one. It looked really cold. I've spent plenty of opening days at Wrigley Field, and I woke up in the morning and I thought, I think I'm good at home for this one. It was a big win because the Cubs had such a crazy offseason. All baseball teams did, but the Cubs coming off a trade deadline in the fall where they traded everybody away, and there were, nobody knew what to expect in the offseason. Then it was a scrambled offseason. And I think there's a lot of question marks on this team. So it was cool to see guys that are looking to have big years have good first games. Nico Horner having a good first game. Ian Happ having a good first game. Kyle Hendricks is trying to bounce back, and he had a good game. So it was, about as good as it could go for opening day for the Cubs.
Yeah, I was out there. It was nasty, the weather. It was kind of rainy and snowy as we were entering the ballpark. But it was great being there for a normal opening day for the first time in a few years. And just everything we love about ballparks and, among many things, the smell of the ballpark, the hot dogs, the onions, everything going. Yeah. What would you say Luke Stuckmeyer's go-to food spot is when you go to Wrigley? What are you getting when you go to a Cubs game if you're there as a fan?
Ooh. Good call. That is the only part of being at the ballpark on opening day that I definitely missed, was the smell of grilled onions when you walk into that ballpark. They somehow know how to do a grilled onion perfectly for the hot dog, I have to do the Vienna beef hot dog with some grilled onions when you go to a baseball game, and particularly at Wrigley Field. Vienna beef is so Chicago. That's my one standard, and I almost always get a bag of roasted peanuts as well. Other than that, it's some of the new things to try out are cool, but for me, baseball is such a traditional, it's such a traditional event to go to, it's so old school that I like to stick to mostly the old school things. I still every once in a while get the chocolate malt, with the old wooden spoon. I still think that's cool to get. And then, on the other side of town, you see what the Sox are doing. And I think they're thought of as having some of the best food in pretty much all of baseball. And I can see why people get all kinds of other things at the ballpark, too. But for me, I'm kind of traditional about what I get at the ballpark, usually.
Yeah. One of the things you can't get anywhere else, though, that Wrigley has is the hot dog stand. I know we've done a couple opening days together, been the bleachers, but this weekend they're selling a Jody Garrett sausage. If you were to come up with a you're gonna see where I'm going with this, with a sausage with the most obscure Cubs player possible, what comes to mind first?
Wow. I pulled a name out for old school Cub fans the other day on the CHGO Cubs podcast, and I said Mike Vale.
Wow.
Number 27. He is the, Suzuki is now wearing 27. Mike Vale was this pinch hitter in the 80s that would come up. And for some reason, as a little kid, I latched onto him because he hit one home run like the very first time I watched him pinch hit. And so the Mike Vale bratwurst would be about as obscure as you could go. Let's be honest, when you don't win for 108 years, you could come up with a lot of names to put on that list. It's not that hard.
I'm with you on the whole kind of old school traditional, you go for a hot dog, a beer. Mike and I were at Guaranteed Rate Field for the whole, you know, media food testing thing, and there are a ton of great options, but I know the first White Sox game I go to as a fan, I'm going with a Polish, extra onions, and a cold beer. Like, that's perfect for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what else I like at the ballpark, too, is the, no matter what ballpark it is, but the Sunday inside the batting helmet. If you can do the big Sunday inside the batting helmet, I like to get a little hot chocolate.
It tastes better.
That. And if they have the caramel, that's what I really want, the caramel on top, too.
And do we see you were at the Wiener Circle yesterday, Luke?
Yeah, now you said hot dogs. I do like hot dogs, but part of the great thing about Wrigley that makes it stand out, I think, is, you know, the neighborhood around it. And Wrigleyville has changed, and you can get all the new things. I used to live in Wicker Park, so I love Smoke Daddy. You can go to Big Star Tacos. You can get all kinds of cool food around the ballpark that now is, you know, it's parts of Chicago. But, you know, the Wiener Circle's not far, and I think it's always been a great post-game place. You know, if you want to take a little walk after the game because you're trying to get an Uber and you can't get it around the ballpark, I'll walk to the Wiener Circle, and I'll get that char dog and cheddar. Now, when we were there the other day, we got, you know, a full dose of the insults, which you get when you walk in the door. And then I did the char dog, cheddar, and raw onions. That's the way I went on it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
I'm going to tell you right now, I prefer a hot dog charred over steamed, and maybe that's not the Chicago way, but I'm telling you, char dog at the Wiener Circle after a game hits the spot.
I grew up with char dogs. That's the way to be.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, something about it, I could have taken down like three of those the other day. And I was just like, you know what? We better get out of here before I have a real problem, because the fries can come with that Merck's cheddar on top of it too. And any good Chicagoan knows that Merck's cheddar is the best cheddar to put on, melted Merck's cheddar.
Facts. Oh, facts, especially on a burger.
Oh, yeah. It makes anything better. It probably makes pancakes better, but I haven't tried it.
Luke, among the many stops in your great sports career was hosting Beer Money, NBC Sports Chicago.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
before Beer Money, wasn't it called Gas Money? Isn't that where
it was.
Gas Money Bob, yeah. the great Twitter account, was born from?
It is. Gas Money was the original name, and then the sponsor changed to Coors Light, and so then it was, you know, a little bit of a conflict of interest to have it called Money, and it was, you know, beer company, so they changed it to Beer Money, and that's how it evolved to that.
What?
Yeah, and it really, I wasn't the original host. I believe Sarah Kustak was the first person to ever do it. She did it for, like, one season with Ted Brunson, and then I started doing it with Susanna Collins. Now, I might have done it a little bit with Kustak. Then it was Susanna Collins, then it was Jen Latta, and then Kelly Kroll at the end. So yeah, we had, gosh, I don't know how many years of it we had, but it was a lot.
So one of the things I know the Score likes to have fun with, was it you doing the quiz on Beer
It's the
Money?
Greatest clip of all time.
And then the whole 83 thing was boring.
Right.
Anybody listens to Score, follows you guys closely, knows the whole 83, but talk about that a little bit, because every once in a while I'll just pull up that video and laugh hysterically.
I don't even remember what the question was. Something about the last time the Bears had done something, and it was a really easy question, and Clark from Des Plaines had this really deep voice and was really had liquored up for this hit, I think, and he got it, and he just looked at me, he's like, 83 was his answer, and so they run the drop over and over for anything, 83. They were selling T-shirts, 83 Nation at one point. And I drive by that location was, like near O'Hare, you know, if you're going on 90 and you're going north near O'Hare, you can see a Hooters off to the right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not Rosemont still. I don't think it might be Des Plaines, which is why Clark from Des Plaines is there. What is the bar we were at? I'm not sure it's there anymore. There's a ton of construction over there now. But yeah, I honestly get more people yelling 83 at me just randomly, like at places that I go, and I just kind of chuckle because, you know, what are you going to say? Like, yes, we did. I mean, that's what made that show, were the guests that were so crazy and so bizarre, and sometimes just flat out funny, you know, that you really find out the mixture of people we have in our city. And I think it's what makes it great.
Is there a bar that sticks out to you from that experience over the years of doing Beer Money?
Standard Bar and Grill in what I guess would be considered Ukrainian Village or Wicker Park, my old hood. It's on Milwaukee, just east of the Bongo Room, my favorite place to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Bongo Room in Wicker Park, by the way. Mm. Don't get me started. This podcast isn't long enough for that. In fact, while the pandemic was like at its peak, my wife and I were just like, what are we going to do? How are we going to keep the Bongo Room alive? Like, we're way out here in the suburbs. Like, what are we going to do? They have to survive. They have to. I'm not even joking. Like, we were worried that the Bongo Room was going to shut down.
Oh, no.
But the Standard Bar and Grill is just east of there. And we've had some bizarre people, but we had, like, multiple people bringing Kelly Krull gifts.
Oh, weird.
For some reason. I can't remember what the reason was, but, like, two people came in and presented her with a gift at Beer Money. Like, they showed up just to bring her a present, and I was like, what on earth is going on? Like,
I hope
that, you know, for that reason, that bar stands out in particular, not because, like, the guests were great, but I think it was the only time we had presents brought to us.
I love the show. It was just fun. You guys were out and about, and you know, every so often you'd be watching and be like, I know that bar. So it was a great show. It was a ton of fun. Speaking of spots closing, Dinkles is, after 100 years, a longtime bakery. Mike wanted to get into this. I've actually never been. I'm going to make a point to get there before it does.
You have to.
Close its doors permanently.
Yeah, it's a must.
You grew up in the Northwest Burbs, correct? Are you still in the Northwest Burbs?
Yeah, I'm from Arlington Heights, and now I've gone full circle. I'm all the way back in Arlington Heights. I was in the city for like 15 years and a couple other suburbs, but now back to Arlington Heights. So it wasn't like I made a lot of Dinkle bakery runs as a kid. I didn't. It's when I lived in the city, someone, I don't remember who, told me about, they're like, listen, if you want a great cake donut, you have to go to the German bakery Dinkles. And I was like, okay, like, whatever. And I thought, you know, I've had a lot of donuts. They're all pretty good. I went to Dinkles and I was like, cake donut, chocolate frosting, cake donut, white frosting. I thought I'd try them both. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. Their cake donut is so much better than anybody's cake donut I've ever had. It is mind-blowing. And the only place that comes close to Dinkles for a cake donut is now Do Right. What do they have that? It's like a Varhula chocolate donut.
That's right. We actually dropped Do Right early on the previous podcast because they also have a great chicken sandwich randomly. But, you know, we're going to go into some of our bakeries that we grew up with. I know Jerish's is one you tell me about all the time. What sets Jerish's apart from the rest?
Ooh, it's the best. No, I grew up on it because Ken Jarish, I don't know, everybody says it a different way. In fact, I think the family says it a different way. In Elk Grove, right on Arlington Heights Road, just north of Golf, south of Golf, has been there forever. It's near the old Elk Grove Bowl. It's in a strip mall, and Ken runs it now. He is third generation, I believe. Yeah, he's third generation running that bakery, and his grandmother, who started it, used to go to my church when I grew up as a kid. And Kathy Jarsh was good friends with my grandmother, and she was always the lady sitting behind my sister and I in church every Sunday because my dad was the pastor at the Lutheran Church in Arlington Heights. So every Sunday, Mrs. Jarsh was sitting behind us, and we always got freebies. First of all, Coffee Ann, they called it after church, was like coffee cakes from there every weekend, you know? So I grew up with the chocolate chip coffee cake there.
You were spoiled with it, man. It's special.
Top chocolate chip. It's incredible. And the other one that I really can't ever pass up is their blueberry strip. Oh, dynamite. And so, but every Easter, which is coming up, we got these giant chocolate eggs, like a pound cake shaped the size of a massive football, filled with cream in the middle. And then the top was like this quarter inch or half inch of chocolate fudge over the top of it. And we'd get those every Easter. And we, you know, same every holiday we would get something, but I'm ready. We're, you know, we're closing in on Easter Sunday, and I've already got to place my orders for multiple egg cakes, because what I'll do is, now this is key, pay attention.
Okay.
You cut it in half, okay, if you're not going to eat it all. Cut it in half, saran wrap over the top, foil, wrap it, and freeze it. Same thing with the coffee cakes. If you wrap them in saran, and then with aluminum foil, and then in a Ziploc baggie, you could eat them 6 months later, 10 months later. They will taste exactly like they did coming out of the bakery.
So you
can have Easter in December.
Pro tips from Luke Stuckmeyer. That's the thing about bakeries, right, is because people get so attached to them because we go for holidays, for birthdays, for celebrations. You get cakes. I mean, I grew up in Mount Prospect, so Central Continental Bakery in downtown Mount Prospect is our go-to spot, best punchkis in the game, by the way. But it is about, like, that's what bakeries, I think people get so attached to, is because it's big events in our life we go to it for, whether it's a graduation or an anniversary or something. Those are your go-to spots, and people fall in love with bakeries.
Yeah, Central Bakery, I know people used to always bring the, like, our butter or sugar cookies, you know, the ones that are always iced and have cubs or socks or whatever on them. We always got those that somebody from school would bring it. I went to Prospect High School, so we had some Central Bakery, but for me, it was always Jarish because we had the relationship with them, and I've introduced my wife and her family to it now, and they agree that it's the best bakery they've ever been to.
Nice.
Well, Mike, your go-to spot for bakeries?
My go-to spot, well, I brought it in today for Bob Surratt's show, Dieta's Bakery, over in Naperville, and I think I impressed the station with what I brought. Kevin came in like a couple minutes too late, unfortunately.
it was just crumbs left on the kitchen counter. I'm like, would anybody throw the empty box out?
We're just going to torture Kevin with that. But no, I said, guys, this is the best Long John in the state, and I think it lived up to the standard.
It looks, I think there was one lingering donut. I might try to get a piece of it. But Luke, I appreciate you jumping on. Any other, what would you say for the Cubs would be a reasonable win total projection on this team? I'm kind of mid-70s. I think if they exceed expectations, maybe they can get to 500. But where are you at on that?
Well, I'm trying to go positive. So we did our rankings in the pregame show for CHGO. We're doing pregame for most games. And you can find them on YouTube and allchgo.com and on Twitter. We'll post them for the games. And then we do post-game. Post-game, we went through our predictions, and I said, listen, maybe it sounds kind of homer, but if just a few things go right for them, it's a division where the last two teams in the division aren't even trying. And the two at the top have some question marks, just like the Cubs do. Now, the Brewers are clearly the favorite to win it, but Jack Flaherty's hurt for the Cardinals. So I said, listen, I could see them being 81-81. It wouldn't shock me to see them go 500. So that's what I'm going with. I'm going with 81-81, and it might be homerish, but you know what? I feel like you have Stroman, Hendricks looked great in the opener. Assuming Miley comes back healthy, you have three pretty good starters, and then you have some young guys trying to prove spots. I always think it's good to have proven players, but at the same time, you can make an argument for guys that have a chip on their shoulder or are fighting for their careers. And the Cubs have a lot of them, you know. So if a few of those question marks are on the positive side, I don't think they're going to win 95 games. I can't say that, but do I think they could compete for one of those wild card spots? I don't see why not in this division. It's one of the worst in baseball. So baseball's a funny sport. Never know. And I'm shooting 81-81. That might be a little bit on the high side.
I like it. He's Luke Stuckmeyer. I'm Kevin Powell for Mike Piff. Luke, appreciate you jumping on. Be sure to follow Luke on Twitter at Luke Stuckmeyer and watch his stuff at CHGO. You guys are doing great stuff. Luke, appreciate you jumping on, man.
Keep the winning streak going.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And don't forget, freeze that Jarish Bakery stuff.
That's right.
In December. It's perfect. That's the tip.
It is noted. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Luke.
All right, see you guys. See
Thanks, man.
All right, he's Luke Stuckmeyer. I'm Kevin Powell for Mike Piff. This was a fun episode. A little bit of baseball, a little bit of Hot Dog Talk, fun episode 6 here on Chicago's Very Own. Chicago. How did your hit with Bob Sirocco, by the way?
It went really well. So, you know, it helped bringing in the donuts. The guy I filled in for is the beat cop. I don't even know his name offhand, but he always, that's my favorite part about coming in on Fridays. There's always food here because of the beat cop. He brings in his recommendations, and it got me thinking, he's like, how is he picking these things up at like 5 or 6 in the morning before he comes in for his hit? So I called ahead to Dieta's earlier in the week and said, hey, do you guys mind if I swing by at like 5 a.m., you know, on my way in? And they were all for it. It was awesome. These guys love the donuts. But yeah,
Dave Bennett touch any of the donuts? You know, he's Mr. Health.
You know, I know he's
shaped Dave Bennett is in.
He smelled it, so I don't know if he, you know, he went further than that. It was Steve Granite Grzanich approved though, which is with it, which is clutch. No, but we had a good time talking Wrigley Eats. It was really funny. I brought up Jody Garrett, and neither Dave or Bob knew who Jody Garrett was. And Joe Romano, their producer, pulls up the stats, and the guy played 10 games after he was traded for, like, in 2005. But that's what you get out of, you know, a hot dog stand, basically, is the most obscure names possible, and some that are inappropriate. But, you know, they have fun there. But, you know, I think I got Bob very excited for some White Sox food when I was reading off what we had over the week and where to find them. So,
well, that's big. We know Bob's a huge Cubs fan, so if he's approving the White Sox offerings, that's big. Fun episode. Mike, what's your Twitter handle?
Mike_Piff03.
Piffin ain't easy.
That's right.
I'm Kevin Powell @KPowell720. This has been episode 6 of Chicago's Very Own Eats.